This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 223.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got a great interview for you with Jessica Freeman, and she's going to be talking about how to create and brand your YouTube channel. And before we get to that interview, I just wanted to let you know about my new YouTube channel. So I'm over on youtube.com/JanetMurraySoulfulPR. So that's youtube.com/JanetMurraySoulfulPR. Now, it's one of my big resolutions for 2018 to do more video. In fact, I'm going to publish a video over on YouTube every single Tuesday. If you're a regular listener to the show, then you'll know I already create a lot of content, so you might be wondering why. So I already publish at least one blog post a week and two podcast episodes on a Tuesday and a Friday. Well, quite simply, I feel that video is where it's at. And over the coming years, if I'm not creating video content, then I'm not going to be marketing myself as effectively as I could be. So the theme of the Tuesday episode, so the Tuesday episode of this podcast is usually a solo episode. There's also going to be a YouTube video to go with it as well. So I would love it if you subscribed to the channel so you can get to find out every time there's a new video over on YouTube. So it's youtube.com/JanetMurraySoulfulPR, and I'll also link to that in the show notes. And now, on with the main part of the show. Joining me on the show today is Jess Freeman. So Jess helps business owners stand out online through their websites, their branding, and also through video. Now, I came across Jess in my Facebook group, the Soulful PR Facebook community, and another member just asked a question about how to set up a YouTube channel, and she produced a really useful blog post on how to do just that. And I thought, this is something that I think a lot of you would like to know about. How do you get set up with your YouTube channel? How do you get people over there to engage with your content? So I thought, why not invite Jess onto the show to talk about it? So welcome to the show, Jess.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So might you be able to start by giving us a little bit of background on you and what you do?
Yeah, of course. So as Janet said, I am a graphic and web designer. I help female service-based entrepreneurs start their business. Basically, I create logos and websites. And then once they have grown a little bit, a lot of people are, you know, needing more clients. They need more exposure, more visibility. And so then I help train them how to start a YouTube channel, get more visibility through video, and connect with their clients.
Fantastic. So let's start right at the beginning then. So if I was about to set up my first YouTube channel, I've never done it before, what would you recommend my first steps would be?
So the first thing you want to do after you've kind of set up the account, you will want to create your channel banner. And this is the banner at the top of your, like when people come to your channel homepage, and that is going to tell people what your channel is about. So it's ideal to have a photo of yourself somewhere kind of in the banner, but then also how often you're going to be posting videos and then what your videos are about. So for instance, mine has a picture of me and it says design and business tips, weekly videos. And then it has a small little URL to point people to my website. It's not a clickable link, but people can type it in if they want to see more about what I do. But that kind of is the poster so people can quickly see, okay, this is what it's about. I'm interested or I'm not interested. So that's really the big thing that people are going to see when they hop over to your channel.
Okay. And should you make that yourself? I mean, can you just use something like PicMonkey or Canva to create yourself?
Yeah. Yes, there you can use PicMonkey, Canva. They have templates for that. So it's really simple. It doesn't need to be fancy. I mean, if you have a designer, that's one less thing you have to worry about. But really just, I mean, if you look at mine, it's very, very simple. Just picture, a little bit of text, and that's it. We don't need to cram a ton of information up there and overwhelm them. Just really basic, get the point across.
Okay, and what would your next step be then?
So then there's some customization you can do to your channel homepage, but some of it is a little more difficult to do until you actually have videos. So what to keep in the back of your mind, once you've posted, let's say 5 to 10 videos, you can actually add playlists to your channel homepage. So if you go look at my channel, you'll see that I have like 5 or 6 rows where you can see web design videos, general design videos, business tips, like they're categorized by playlist. So it gives people more insight into your recent videos, the topics you talk about. Even though they've just seen it on your banner, they want to see like, okay, but like, what is she specifically talking about?
Okay, we want to look at yours. Where is yours again?
You can find it at justcreatives.video. And so that'll pull up the channel. So you have at the top of your banner and then down on the homepage, you can actually customize which playlist you want to display. You don't have to display all of your playlists, but the ones that you want to drive the most attention to. Like if you, let's say you're doing kind of a launch, a theme around a certain topic and you want to drive a lot of traffic to those videos, then I would move that playlist to the top of all these rows. So if you, Janet, were starting a channel and you were doing a lot of like PR and business tips and general stuff, but you were in the middle of a launch, I would say create a PR tips playlist and then have that playlist at the top of your channel so that people can see like, oh, she talks a lot about PR. Let me see these. Like they're the most recent videos. So they can really get the most crucial information that you're wanting to put in front of your audience.
I've seen a lot of people have created welcome videos. Would you recommend that you do that, like a short video where you welcome people to the channel, tell them what to expect?
Yes. So some people call this a channel trailer, which I think is really good. But I do it almost like a website welcome video because I'm a website designer and I am not just like wanting to welcome people to my channel. I actually put this video on my website. I mean, it tells people, you know, I'm just creatives. This is what I do. This is who I help, why it's important. It's less than a minute. So, and it doesn't have to be fancy. Some people, you know, hire a videographer, have this whole footage. That's great if you want to do it. But if you need to, you can just sit at your desk, sit in your office, whatever makes sense for your brand. But you can do a channel trailer where it's like, hey, welcome to my channel. This is what I'm going to talk about. This is how often I'll post. Make sure to subscribe. And you can do that. Mine is more general, like about my brand and what I talk about and how I help people. So it is my quote unquote channel trailer, but I also embed that video on my website homepage to help connect with potential clients there.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I guess I should have brought this up right at the beginning to do this. But I mean, what's the point of being on YouTube? I mean, the way I tend to see it is that YouTube for me feels like a search engine, another search engine where people are potentially looking for the kind of content that you create. So they're looking to solve a problem. So they're looking for a video on how to set up their YouTube channel or how to build their email list or whatever it might be. So if you're publishing content on there and you're doing it regularly, then essentially others are using it like a search engine. It's kind of how you get found.
Yes, absolutely. So YouTube is the second largest search engine and it's the second most visited site on the internet.
Wow.
I just saw that statistic release, I think it was last week, about it being the second most visited. So you can rank your videos not just on YouTube, but on Google as well. So even if you're like, I don't know if my audience is actively searching on YouTube for this tutorial, this topic, if you optimize your videos, you can also show up in Google search because Google likes to show different varieties of content when you're searching, like how to bake macaroni and cheese. It's going to show you recipes, it's going to show you blog posts, images, and videos. Mm-hmm. So you have potential to rank in both places. So you're reaching a whole new audience and really getting yourself out there, being more visible in your industry, and really positioning yourself as an expert.
So how do you optimize that content so it gets found in Google as well as on YouTube?
Yes. So the first thing you want to do is look in Google Keyword Planner and you can do a search of how to bake macaroni and cheese. Find a topic that is low competition and high search. So this means not a lot of people are talking about it, but a lot of people are searching for it. A good example of this is when Instagram stories came out and, you know, people were still using Snapchat and they were wanted to kind of repurpose their Snapchat videos over on Instagram. I made a video about how to use your Snapchat videos, like upload them to Instagram stories. I did that, I mean, the week or week after the Instagram stories came out. And now that is one of my highest viewed videos because so many people were searching for it and not a lot of people were talking about it.
And so, I mean, how I understand it with, I mean, when I'm creating content for my blog or my podcast, for example, I always feel, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that the more specific you can be, the better. So I
create
a video like how to write a press release and that might be okay. People are searching for that, but lots of people are searching for it. If I can be more specific, so how to create a, or how to write a press release for your small business, or how to write a press release for entrepreneurs, or how to write a press release for charity owners or whatever it might be.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what I mean? But more specific, the better. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And that also helps you grow your channel quicker, the more specific you can be. I mean, you could do how to write a press release for your book, how to write a press release for, you know, whatever it is. But then, so after the Google Keyword Planner research, then you take those keywords and you use it in your title, your description, and your video tags. Okay. And all of that gives Google the juice, the metadata that they need. And if it fits into their algorithm, if they find that it's good content, it's getting good engagement, they're going to boost it and move it up in the search results.
Okay. So you mentioned the title of your video.
Yes.
And I think you mentioned the subheader. Is that the second thing you mentioned?
The description and then the tags. Yeah.
Yeah. And so can you talk through, because I think if you're not used to YouTube, that might be a bit confusing for people. I don't know if you can talk a little bit more about the difference between the three.
Yes. So when you are uploading a video, so you have your video file, you've uploaded it. While it's uploading, because it takes a few minutes, there will be a box for your title. So this is the main thing that people are going to see stand out in search. Then underneath that, there's a big box for description. So this is where you're like, hey, today I'm going to teach you how to make macaroni and cheese. And you actually want to have 1 to 2 paragraphs here talking about the video, because that gives it Google and YouTube more keywords, more data to analyze. So, you know, hey, this is a macaroni and cheese recipe. It's dairy-free, gluten-free. It only takes 5 minutes, whatever you want to say. Describe, describe what you're talking about, how it's going to happen. Usually what I do is kind of quickly summarize the entire video. So if I'm doing like 5 steps to create this design, I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to teach you how to design this in this video. It's important because XYZ, step 1, and I quickly write it out. Mm. Now, some people might look at that instead of watching. I don't really think so, because if people are on YouTube, they actually want to watch the videos. Mm-hmm. But that can be really helpful, especially if you are mentioning specific tools or brands or websites, because then people can see like, what was that name again? Like, I don't know how she spells it, or, you know, whatever. So then underneath that box on the same page, you will see a box for tags or keywords. So this is not like hashtags. It's not like Instagram hashtags. So you don't need to tag, you know, macaroni and cheese and baking. You want to do keywords that are similar to your title and description. So for how to bake macaroni and cheese, it would be how to bake macaroni and cheese as one full keyword or tag. Then how to make, like you do variations of your title. So I would do how to make, how to cook, how to create, any kind of variation you can think of. Then also things like macaroni and cheese recipe, macaroni and cheese at home, macaroni and cheese for kids, anything like that. Just, I'm making everybody hungry talking about
you
mac
are,
and cheese.
Yeah, but it's a great example because it totally makes sense. Yeah.
Yes. So any variation that you can do, this just gives more data again to Google and YouTube, kind of categorizing your video. So the title, description, and the keywords are all going to help rank your video essentially.
Mm. Okay. So, I mean, I do have a sort of secondary ulterior motive for why I'm doing
yes.
this as well, because I'm, for me, like 2018, I've decided is really going to be my year of a video. And so
yes.
what I'm going to be doing. So my Tuesday podcast episode, which is usually a solo episode, and they're really popular, those ones, but I'm just thinking, look, I've got to be publishing video every week.
Yes.
Basically creating a video every week, publishing on YouTube, and then turning that into a podcast as well. So this is kind of like, this is kind of really relevant for me. So I've got lots of sort of personal, I mean, I have got content on YouTube, but I've got lots of personal questions about, you know, how I'm going to manage this content and make the most of it. So one thing that's very much in my mind is I want to publish this, obviously put the video on YouTube. I'm going to turn it into a podcast episode as well. But I also want to put it as a blog post on my website as well. Mm-hmm. Would that be the right advice?
Yes, absolutely. So something you can do, like I used to have a video podcast. So I had my podcast on iTunes, but then I recorded the video interview on Zoom and then uploaded that video to YouTube. And then embedding that in a blog post is even better because you probably have a lot of people going to your website already. You can also pin your blogs and help drive traffic to your videos. You can even pin your videos on Pinterest. That's a great way to get more traffic as well. So I personally actually will pin my videos themselves from YouTube to a Pinterest board, but I also am like you, embed my videos in a blog post. So then I also have a blog post graphic that I pin as well. So two different pins. One does show both the blog and the video, and one just shows the video. But that's two different ways that people can potentially see my videos.
So basically trying to get it in as many places as possible so that you can get more traffic. And that was kind of really leading to my next question is your call to action. So I feel like whenever you publish any content anywhere, you should always have a call to action, and you should be basically sending people somewhere, asking them to do something. Now, something I've learned over the years as a content creator is not to give, personally, I don't ever give more than one call to action because I feel it can confuse people. So if you say, go to my website, but also you might want to go here or there or whatever. And it's just a habit that I've got into. So that might be right or wrong. You might have some thoughts about that. But what would you say you should be doing around a call to action on your YouTube videos? Because I see lots of people doing different things and I find myself wondering, well, what is the right thing to do? Is there a right thing? Do you test it out? I'd love to know more about that.
Yeah, so the one thing to keep in mind is that YouTube wants to keep people on their platform because that's how they make more money, when people stay. So it is good to have a call to action for join my Facebook group or read this blog post, whatever, but you want to be aware of how much you're doing that. So I don't send people to my website in every video. Sometimes I will just, the only call to action in a video will be to like, subscribe, and comment on the video. That'll be it. Because I want them to engage, because that is another factor that helps with ranking and helps it show up in search, or hopefully they do share it with friends, anything like that. But, and it's not bad to, you know, hey, go read this blog, sign up for my email list. It's, you know, you do want that because YouTube could disappear tomorrow. So you want people to be on your email list or visiting your website. So I will do it in, I don't want to say precisely every other video, but every few videos, I will say, oh, like if you need more help with your website, be sure to check out the free guide below. And I'll link to it in the description. That's something else you can put in the video description with the other paragraphs of information. But having that information, those links, is really good. So just choose one. Don't be like, okay, download this guide and join my Facebook group. be sure to follow me on Instagram. Choose one. But usually I end my videos like, if you need more help with your website, be sure to check out the link below for my free guide. And if you enjoyed this video, be sure to hit like, comment, and subscribe.
Right. Okay. So I guess it's about testing out, about mixing it up, and like with anything in your business, just seeing what works best. And
Yes. Yeah.
And that's really useful about what you're saying, because I would always be like you, be talking about, well, you know, you need to get people back to your website, but actually if you want to build up your following on YouTube and you want to get more people to see your videos, then I guess it's kind of a balance, isn't it, between
It is. And the good thing is if you are embedding it in a blog post or whatever, you can have a related opt-in right below the video. So in my blogs, I have the content, and usually the video is at the end because I'm like, okay, so I've told you these four points about your website. Now here's how to do like I'm showing you how to do step two. Mm-hmm. And then underneath the video, I'll have the opt-in.
Right.
So people can still, and that's, you know, I do in my weekly emails, I send the blog and the video because some people might not need the 4 points. Mm-hmm. They can tell by the title, like, oh, I already know how to, like, I don't care about that. I want to know the specific tutorial that she's talking about. Mm. But that's just, you know, if new visitors are reading your blog, they'll see your video anyway, and then hopefully opt in.
Okay, great. And I think I remember rightly that on YouTube, inside their editing tools, you can actually add call to actions sort of within their editing tools rather than adding it on your video unless you want to.
Yes, yes. You can use, they're called cards. They used to have annotations, but those have been deleted. they got rid of them. But you can use YouTube cards. So if you've ever watched a video and up in the top right-hand corner, there's a little white bubble and you might see a little pop-out appear and say, like, you know, some other, it's like a related title. Like you might be watching How to Bake Macaroni and Cheese and you'll see like, oh, how to bake lasagna or something like that. Then that card, that's something you can do in YouTube itself, and you can link to either a playlist or a particular video. Mm. And that's really good for keeping people watching your channel and watching more of your videos. Mm-hmm. So often when I'm doing like a specific WordPress tutorial, then in the cards, I will link to a WordPress playlist that I've created. So I can, and it will say like, watch more WordPress tutorials. Mm. So that people are like, oh, because you never know if someone is just searching like how to do this. They land on one video. They've never watched you before, but they're like, oh my gosh, great. She's helping me through this. And then they see the little pop-up of like more word. Oh my gosh, she has more tutorials. Like, of course I'm going to watch these. Because again, YouTube likes to keep people on the platform. And if you can keep people on your channel specifically, that's even better for you. And YouTube is like, oh, a lot of people are watching Janet's videos. And like a lot of Janet's videos, not just one of her videos. So then they're like, okay, well, we might, you know, bump up some more of her videos, show her in more suggested videos or search results, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So that's just another thing that can help you expand your reach.
Okay, and that leads into another question. So this is something that's been on my mind. So when I launched my podcast 2 years ago, I remember getting advice from people saying, launch with like 8 episodes or something like that, because if people like your podcast, if they like your content, they're going to want to listen to more. Would you say that was the case with YouTube, that it's better to launch with a few in your library, maybe a small playlist, or is it a case of like, just do what you can do with what you've got and it's better to get started and publish your first video and keep going, you know, rather than worry too much?
I would say just do what is sustainable. Like if it's one video is all you want to launch with, then that's totally fine. Because you might be like, oh my gosh, I have to record 3 videos this week. it might seem overwhelming to launch with all 3 at the same time. And I would even say, even if you do decide to do 3 videos or whatever, which I don't know that I would even do more than 3, I would upload like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then just have like a launch week. Because basically when you're uploading a lot of videos at once, you're kind of competing with yourself almost, because you're trying to drive traffic to all these different videos. So I do 2 videos a week, and I do one on Tuesday and I do one on Thursday. And so I have Tuesday and Wednesday to promote the first video, and then Thursday and Friday to promote the others. Now, yes, of course, I do continue to promote the videos even after the first few days. But if I were doing Tuesday and Wednesday, then I don't have as much time to promote that first video.
Okay.
You know, then I'm tweeting, okay, watch this video, but okay, now watch this video. trying to, you know, drive traffic too many places at once.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of leads me into my next question, actually, which is about marketing your video. So I've got a client, for example, who's just launched a YouTube channel. Her content is really great, but she feels really frustrated because she wants to get more eyes on her content. And I know with, because I guess you can think about YouTube as a a search engine, but it's also, I guess, it's a social media channel as well, networking channel as well, I guess, isn't it? And I guess I always say to people when they're starting out on a new platform, like, you know, you need to spend more time on other people's accounts than your own.
Yes. Yes.
Actually interacting with other people. And so I wondered what the deal was with YouTube. Is there some truth in that? I mean, are there some things that you can be doing on YouTube to get more YouTube users, maybe people who other YouTubers to come over and look at your stuff, or are there any things that you can do to kind of just get more eyes on your content, get people, more people over to your channel?
Yes. So one of the things you can do, going back to the tags on your video. So let's say you are doing how to write a press release about your book. So you've done your keyword search. And what I recommend also, and part of that optimization process, is put your title, your potential title, in YouTube search. So you would, in the actual YouTube search bar, how to write a press release about your book, then see what other people are, what they've titled their videos. And not that you want to duplicate it, but you can, let's say there's one like how to write a press release about your book in 5 minutes. You would use that title as a tag, because YouTube will see the tag and the title, and hopefully, you know, oh, these are kind of related. So your video is more likely then to show up in the sidebar of YouTube. So that's one way you can kind of feed off of other videos. But whenever you post a video, you want to really drive engagement, so comments and likes and shares, in the first 24 to 48 hours. That's really the prime time for your video. So in that first 24 to 48 hours, I am sending an email to my list with a link to the video. I'm talking about it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, and LinkedIn, and Google Plus. Like, I'm there under the video. There's a share button. And if you click on the share button, you'll see like 15 icons for different social media networks. And I will share from there, because again, Google sees that as engagement. So I will, I mean, you can't share to Instagram from YouTube, but I will talk about it on YouTube. But anywhere you can share it and continue to share it. If you want, you can even create like a YouTube pod. So if you have friends who are also on YouTube, maybe they're just starting out, or maybe they're, you know, they've been doing it for several months, you can create like a Facebook group or a Slack channel and post your videos in that group. Say like, I have a new video up today. Then everyone goes and likes and comments on it to help drive engagement. It's similar to an Instagram pod, but YouTube sees it as engagement. So that can really help you, especially when you're starting out on YouTube. I mean, the great thing about YouTube is that you can rank your videos even if you only have 5 subscribers. You don't need a bunch of subscribers. When I, like the videos that I have that have 6 and 5,000 views, those were posted when I had about 200 subscribers.
Wow.
And, you know, so they, it doesn't really matter how many subscribers you have. It's all about engagement and optimizing your video titles and that kind of thing. And your friend that has posted videos and is kind of discouraged, you can go back and optimize your videos. So if she has posted how to bake macaroni and cheese, and she's like, wow, this title is not really optimized for search, I could add some more keywords or change it to be better. She can do that. You can change the title, the description, and the tags, and re-optimize it. I've had videos that posted, and they did okay, you know, in the first few months, and then 6 months later, all of a sudden, I'm getting thousands and thousands of views, and it's been 6 to 8 months since I even posted it, and I'm, you know, I'm not running ads to it. I'm not promoting it any extra than any other video, but it's just the nature of YouTube. People might all of a sudden be like, oh, I really want to know this about, you know, Instagram or baking macaroni and cheese, anything like that. So don't get discouraged if you've posted videos and then a month later you're like, yeah, I only have 12 views. like, what do I do? You can continue to share it, re-optimize it, just give it some time.
And what I really like that you said there was that I mean, I'm constantly saying this to my clients all the time, but you can't just create content and just, you know, let it sit
No.
Let it sit on YouTube or let it sit on Instagram. Like literally you have to go out and you have to just pull out every stop, everything
you yes.
have to get more people to like, comment, engage and share. And, you know, I often share with my clients that even now, you know, I've got quite a good following online, but I'll still sometimes post things and think, oh God, you know, that's not really getting much traction. So I'll together and I'll say, I'll go and just like comment on that and just, you know, just move that up a little bit. And you'll see the needle start to move. But I think often when you're starting out, I think there is a sense that actually you just put it out there and you just wait. And then
yes.
that happens and people get discouraged. But actually, you do actually have to do quite a lot of legwork, unless you're Gary Vaynerchuk, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
A lot of work to actually get people to engage with your content. And that often means like physically, like twisting people, no, not physically, but metaphorically, twisting people's arms, like getting your mum to comment on it, getting your friends,
your brother,
you know, that kind of thing. And I think often people miss that step out and they expect to go straight to kind of Gary Vaynerchuk levels.
Right.
Kind of doing that stuff. Or not even Gary Vaynerchuk, just somebody who gets some views on their videos.
Right.
Quite a lot of legwork in, don't you?
Yeah. And I mean, something else you can do is if like, because a lot of people, they're like, okay, I've been blogging for 3 years. Now I need to add video. You can go back and add videos to old blog posts. If you have blogs that, you know, you wrote 2 years ago, but it's still getting a lot of traffic, do a video that would, you know, be supplemental information for that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly my first months of my new YouTube strategy is basically doing exactly that. I've picked out my blog posts, which still perform really, really well.
Yeah.
Creating videos that go with those blog posts, because that feels like the best way. If those posts are already doing well, then that's the best thing all around, really.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's just another way you can promote it and get more traffic to your videos.
Okay, one last quick question I wanted to ask you was about video length. I know this is something that people debate a lot. Is there an optimum length for your video? You know, like a sort of good viewing length, or does it really depend?
I mean, there are like millions of cameras. I tell everyone, like, you really can just start with your iPhone. I did. And there are little microphones that plug into your phone, to smartphones, so you can like enhance the audio if you want a little bit. I will say, after the iPhone, I upgraded to a Sony Handycam, and that was it's really compact and very simple, and you can see yourself like while you're recording, so that helps so you can like, you know, position yourself correctly. And now I use a Canon Rebel T4i, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's one of the Rebels. And so it kind of depends on your price point, but honestly, really, you can start with your iPhone. Unless you're trying to do some kind of really fancy, high-tech movie-type videos like Casey Neistat or Gary Vaynerchuk, it's fine. People really care about the content. Like, if you're really showing them valuable step-by-step, like, oh my gosh, this is so helpful, they're not going to care if, you know, if you're on an iPhone versus a Sony Handycam. They care about, okay, this was super awesome.
Yeah.
She was super helpful. Like, subscribe.
Yeah, I know. I look for stuff on YouTube all the time. So like, say for example, I hit a hiccup with something on my website or something with my podcast, whatever. And I just want to find a video that solves my problem. So
if
I can look at someone's screen and they walk me through how to sort a problem out that I'm having, I don't care, you know, what they should do on. They can help me solve my problem. I mean, it is nice, you know, especially if you've got a nice looking brand. It's something I'm quite aware of, because I've got quite a nice looking brand and I don't want to just kind of shove any old thing up. But is there a kind of, people often say, well, how long should my videos be? Should they be 5 minutes? Should they be 15 minutes? Does it depend on what it is that you're creating?
It does depend, because people want to be sure, you know, that you're covering the steps properly. If you can cut out any, like when you're editing, any like time, let's say, like when I'm doing website tutorials, like how to set up something, you know, there's time where the browser's like loading or it's moving to the new page. I cut that out because that's just taking up dead time and I want to get to the point. But I'm not going to be like, okay, and this is how you do that, and just not like explain it. So you want to be sure that you're explaining it in a, you know, slow enough pace that people can follow, but not too slow where they're like, okay, this is a 20-minute video and I'm bored. Mm-hmm. So I say about 3 to 4 minutes is a good starting place.
Okay.
But when I first started my YouTube channel, I did 1-minute videos, like on purpose. Mm-hmm. I made them 1 minute. And that actually, like, my audience got really used to that. So then it kind of became almost a problem for a little bit because people were like, I really liked those 1 minute videos. And I was like, okay, but I can't teach you how to customize this on your website in 1 minute. Like, I need more than just a minute. So yeah, don't feel like you need to create these 7 minute videos, but I would aim for 3 to 4 minutes. But then after a few months, pay attention to your analytics. You can look at your analytics in the YouTube Creator Studio. You'll see that when you log into YouTube. And you can look at your audience retention. And so like when you log in, it will tell you the average view time for your video. So you might see like, oh, my average view time is 2 minutes and 20 seconds. Well, that's pretty good if you have a 3 minute video, but that's pretty bad if you have an 8 minute video. Yeah. So if you are making consistently like 8 minute videos, and people are dropping off at like minute 2 or 3, you want them at least around 50%. Because, I mean, keep in mind, it's an average. So it's not everyone's leaving at that time. And also, I mean, how many times have you watched a tutorial and you're like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. And you leave early. So yeah. You may be showing them enough of what they need to know. But so keep in mind, 3 to 4 minutes, but pay attention to your analytics. So if people are leaving at 30 seconds, then you need to either get to the point faster or shorten your videos.
Okay. Oh, fantastic. Well, you've shared so much value. That's been absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Where can we find you if we want to know more about you and get access to some of your really useful YouTube videos as well?
So you can find me at jesscreatives.com. You can find my YouTube channel at jesscreatives.video. And then I'm pretty much everywhere on social media at jesscreatives.
Oh, fantastic. It's been brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing it. You made it all seem so accessible, and I'm sure that, I've certainly picked up loads as well. And I'm sure if you're listening, you also have picked up loads of great tips too. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you found that episode useful. If you'd like more tips on how to promote your business, then I'd suggest heading over to my website at janetmurray.co.uk. It's full of blogs and podcasts and resources that you can use to help you promote your business more effectively. And of course, I would love it if you subscribe to my YouTube channel, and that is youtube.com/janetmurray soulfulpr.